good morning, everybody. Those of you joining online in the room, please stand and join us in singing. Sing this morning of God's love for us, love for the world, all he's done through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Sing this again. Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. No more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so
Heavenly Father, we lift our song to you this morning. God, in the midst of changing seasons, in the midst of all the things we bring into this place, from the week before and worries and anxieties of the week ahead of us. God, we know that we can trust you because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's nothing about you that changes because you have always been loving, always been good, always been just, always been merciful. God, this morning as we hear your word taught, we pray that you would remind us of those things. Remind us of your goodness in past seasons. Teach us today, God. Spirit, we pray that you'd shape us more and more into the image of Jesus here in this place. We love you. Pray all of this in your name. And all of God's people said with one voice, amen.
Amen. How's everyone doing this morning? Good. Hey, well, welcome to Blackhawk Church. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here. It's great to be with all of you. Why don't you go ahead and grab a seat here in the room? And welcome in to everyone worshiping with us online. It's great to have you with us. If you've been checking things out online for a while and you're ever able to come here and be with us, man, it's so good to be together. We'd love to show you around. So just let us know that you're here for the first time, and we'd love to do that. And welcome to anyone here in the room who's here for the first time. We would love to help you get to know our church and to take a next step. We believe that all of us have a next step in our journey with God. And so as you head out these doors after the service, go to that next steps area, say hello. They have a small gift for you just to say thanks for joining us this morning. And they can tell you more about how to get connected to different groups and serving opportunities and those kinds of things. Those are for all of us if we're looking to take a next step. We get to do something really special this morning. You guys ready for this? You should be very excited because it is Survey Sunday. Yes, right? Hey, I like the applause, right? Because we're not getting enough surveys this time of year, right? Can I get an amen? Look, this one is going to be the most important and the easiest one you will take. And it is so important to our community and who we are as a church because it just gives us a snapshot in time of what our community, what our church family is like, and helps us just to be able to better plan and organize ministry and ways that we can love and serve this community. So if you pull out your phone, the camera, go to that QR code or that website, or hot off the press, you should have just got this in your inbox. If you have an email address on file with Blackhawk Church, you can get to it from there as well. We're going to give you time to do it right now. The band is going to play for a little bit. It's just going to take a few minutes. Everyone pull out their phones. Everyone pull out their devices. We want you to do this, whether this is your first time or you've been coming for years. And if you're having trouble with it, you can't get that to work or the email link to work, no fear. Go out to the welcome desk afterward, and our staff would love to help walk you through that and make sure that you can access that. So, all right. Understand the assignment? Good? All right, we're going to give you a few minutes as the band plays, and then I'll come back up in just a few moments. Thank you. I know some of you are still wrapping up, so keep going with that. You can ignore me or kind of multitask at the moment. I'm going to give just a few quick things coming up in the life of Black Hawk Church. And again, thank you so much for doing that, working on that. If you had problems with that, go talk to someone at the welcome desk, and we'd love to help you troubleshoot that. Well, a couple things coming up. The first is this. I am biased, but I think Black Hawk Church is a pretty great place to work, and we are hiring. So if you've ever wanted to work at Black Hawk Church, go to the website, check that out. We've got several different roles available that we're looking to hire for. So check out those and look at those descriptions. Second thing coming up next weekend is the College Ministry Retreat. This is a great opportunity to connect with other students and to grow in relationship with God. It was at a fall retreat like that 20 years ago that, man, God really changed my life. So if that's you, you're a college-age student, I encourage you to sign up for that. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend. And then last thing, starting next Sunday night, we're going to do something called, it's new, I forgot what it's called, the High School Ministry Lounge. It's a cool, I knew it was a cool name. The lounge is happening at 6 o'clock on Sunday nights. We know many people play sports, and maybe Wednesday night high school kind of stuff is difficult, but this is an opportunity to hang out here at church with different students and the leaders, eat snacks, and then talk about the series that we're going to be in. So check that out. That's starting next week. And then also, we need volunteers to help bring snacks and appetizers and that kind of thing. So if you like to serve in that way by making food, that's a great opportunity for that. And there's more information on that on the website. And of course, I think most of us know at this point, to find all of these things and much more, you can go to blackhawkchurch.com/thehub or scan that QR code, and you're going to find all the things that I just talked about and many more. If you go to upcoming events, you'll see a lot of other things coming up later this fall. One of those, again, sneak peek, is something called Trunk or Treat. You probably saw that on your way in. You'll hear more about that in the future, but go check that out. We're excited to do that coming up at Brader Way and at Fitchburg. So with that, this is the last week of this Into the Heart of the Gospel series in Romans 8 that we are in, and we get to this chapter, or the end of the chapter, where we talk about the love of God. It's this amazing passage. So I'm going to hand it off to Lynn Bienick in just a moment, but then next week, you're not going to want to miss the start of the Kingdom of God series, where we're going to talk about what it means to be citizens of God's kingdom, what that kingdom is like, and the implications that might have for our world today. So that's next week. But let's finish off this Romans 8 series. Excited to dig in this morning. So let me hand it off to Lynn.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Black Hawk Church. If I have not had the chance to meet you before, my name is Lynn Bienick, and I am so glad to be with you all today. I'm on staff here. I work with our community groups and our marriage ministry, and I just love Sunday, so it's great to be here. Hey, I want to say hello right now to those of you who may be watching online. We're so glad that you're here, and also hello to those of you in our other venues, Black Hawk Downtown, Black Hawk Fitchburg, Gospel Fusion and Traditions, and anyone else where you're coming from. Welcome. I'm so glad to be with you today. Today, as we just heard, we are coming to the end of a 5-week series that we've been doing called Into the Heart of the Gospel. And through this series, we've been taking time to actually look at just one chapter in the Bible, and that's Romans chapter 8. This chapter is considered one of the most powerful chapters in the entire Bible. And so we thought, hey, what a great opportunity to really slow down and look at the gospel according to Romans 8. Here's a summary of where we've been so far, especially for those who are just joining. We've seen that the death of Jesus sets us free from sin. The Holy Spirit restores us to God's image. We are restored to the status of God's children. And last week, we heard from Pastor Charles how God suffers with us as we work toward the redemption of the world. And finally, we see that all of this is because God loves us. So today, I get to close out the series, which is kind of fun. I get to take us to what I think is the most exciting part of the passage. If you've been journeying with us, you're going to see that this part of the passage includes the verses that we've been memorizing as a church. And so this really shows what all of the other messages have been pointing toward. So right now, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. It says this: "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. You guys, can I just say, I love this passage. These verses are so powerful. I feel encouraged right now. I feel kind of pumped up. I feel motivated. These are the kind of verses that, honestly, I just want to keep reading them over and over and over again. It's like God is for us. We are more than conquerors. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Amen. Paul began these verses that we just read. And he said, "What then shall we say in response to these things?" So it's like, this is a response to something. What is it a response to? What we're seeing is that these verses that we just heard are really Paul's response to everything that he has already laid out in Romans chapter 5 through chapter 8. This is really like his conclusion. And he's saying all of these things, all of them are because of God's great love for us. So taking another look at where we've been in our series, you can think of it like this. The death of Jesus sets us free from sin because God loves us. The Holy Spirit restores us to God's image. You can say it with me. Because God loves us. We are restored to the status of God's children because God loves us. God suffers with us as we work toward the redemption of the world. Again, it's because God loves us. Everything that we've seen in this series so far, all of it, it hinges on this one thing, and it's on God's love for us. It's because of his love that we get to be children of God. It's because of his love that we get to join God in his mission, and it is because of his love that we can take on our new nature in Christ. Every single one of these things comes back to God's love. So just as we've been slowly working our way through the gospel each week, we're going to now slowly move our way through these verses that we've already read. And let's see what God might show us today. Starting in verse 31, it says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" One of the key themes in this passage is right there in the first verse. It says that God is for us, okay? Now, I'm betting that a lot of us have heard that before. That might not feel like new information for you here today. But if that's true, I mean, if God is for us, if he is really, truly for us, then that should impact our lives in a massive way, including the ways that we view times and seasons of suffering. Let me ask you, can you think of someone in your life who is for you? Someone who is completely in your corner? Someone who wants the absolute best for you? Okay, in my own life, I think of my boys. I have a 3-year-old boy, we have an 8-month-old boy, they're growing fast. You know what? I am for those boys. I love our boys. There is nothing bad that I ever want to happen to them. Make no mistake, you all believe me, no one's questioning this. I am for our boys. I think that when we're reading Romans chapter 8, sometimes we can sort of breeze past these words, God is for us. But really, these words are weighty. These words should bring huge implications for our lives. Just think about it. God is for us. Let it sink in. Try to wrap your mind around that. God is for us. Let me ask you, when you think about God, do you think about him in this way? Do you imagine him being so totally and completely overwhelmingly for you? Do you imagine him being the one who's in your corner, has your back at all times, meaning even when you're in the wrong, he's ready to go to bat for you? Do you imagine God in this way? I'm betting for most of us, we don't think or feel quite that way about God. Maybe for some of us right now, you're going through something really difficult right now. Maybe you just received difficult news or diagnosis or all types of things in life that can happen, and you're kind of going, wait a minute, how is God for me if he's allowing all of this to happen in my life? Maybe for some of us today, you're thinking, okay, wait, how could God be for me when I keep messing up? I keep making like the wrong decisions in life. I keep walking through that door to sin that Pastor Chris talked about a few weeks ago. I keep walking through it. I keep saying I'm done, and then I walk through it again, and then I'm done, and then I walk through it again. How could God be for me? In my own life, there are times and seasons where these words really resonate, and I go, yeah, God is for me. And there are other times where they just don't ring as true. It's like, I know God is for me. I get that. Like, I know that's true factually, but I'm not feeling that. I'm not experiencing that in my life on the day-to-day basis. And it's this tension between what I know and what I feel, and what I know and what I feel. There are all kinds of reasons today why we can struggle to know that God is for us. Maybe today you're brand new, like you're new to church. Maybe someone brought you here today. Maybe you're at one of our sites. Maybe you're a college student downtown right now and you're going, God is for me? Like, what does that even mean? This is new information. People back in Paul's day, they struggled to know that God was for them. So Paul was trying to encourage them. He was trying to help them to see that the fact that they were suffering, that's not because God doesn't love them, not at all. He wants them to see that the same God who created the universe, the same God who created every single thing we've ever seen, every sunset, every sunrise, everything that has breath in its lungs, every single thing that has been created by God, that same God, yeah, he's for you. He's for us. He's on our side. Paul is showing them, look, the evidence is overwhelming that God is for us because God gave his own son up for us. Again, why did he do that? It's because he loves us. He loves us. God has a mission. He has a mission to reach and restore the entire world, and he wants to use a transformed people empowered by his Holy Spirit in order to accomplish that mission. God is sold out to his mission, and he wants to use us to accomplish it. God is for us. This is the heart of the gospel. So how do we go about joining him in his mission? Well, let's look back to verse 32. Paul, it says, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Paul is saying, look, God has already given us all things because he's given us his son. He's given us Jesus. What greater sign of love is there than that? We know that God is for us. And now as followers of Jesus and as co-heirs with Christ, we have an important role to play in helping God in his mission. Let's keep going in verse 33. It says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. This is courtroom imagery. You see, for some of us today, some of us think about God like a judge. It's sort of like we're on trial for all the bad things we've ever done, and God is like a judge, and he's sitting up there, and he knows everything we've ever done. He knows everything we've ever thought. He knows it all, and he's going, why can't you get your life together yet? Wow, it's been how many years? You're still struggling? That's the same struggle. You're still in that same cycle, and it's like some of us view God like this judge who's ready to call us out for all the ways that we fall short. Look, if this is the way that you think about God, you need to rethink your view of God. Because look again at verse 33. Look again. It says, who will bring any charge? Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Because Jesus is interceding for us. Think of it this way. I want you to imagine that you're in a situation where someone's taking you to court. You're going to court and you need someone to represent you, and I'm asking you, who is it that you want to be your defense attorney? Who is it you want to represent you? My guess is that we would all say, well, I would hope to have the best attorney that money could buy. That's who I want to plead my case. That's who I want defending me. Well, guess what? Jesus is seated at our table. He's our defense attorney. He has a perfect record. He's never lost a case. He's the best there is, and he is our representation. The God who created the universe is pleading our case with the Father. So if you view God like the judge, you need to rethink your view of God. He's our representation. He represents us. And if God gave his own innocent son in exchange for our lives, then there is nothing, nothing that can ultimately come against us. That's what Paul is trying to say. Instead of getting the punishment we deserve, we actually get to walk free because of what Jesus did, because he is interceding for us. Many years ago now, I had a friend who found themselves in a position where they were in trouble with the law. And without getting into the details, it was pretty serious. My friend was facing years in prison. It was a big deal, and there was no question about my friend's guilt in the matter. And so as one of their close friends, I decided to write a letter to the judge. I knew my friend was guilty. I knew of the guilt, but I wrote the letter anyway. And I wrote a letter to the judge, and I asked that when it came time to determining my friend's sentencing, I asked that they would have compassion, because my friend was only a teenager and my friend had their whole life ahead of them. I was 17 years old when I wrote the letter. Now, I assume the judge got my letter, although I never did hear back, so I can't know for sure. You know, I didn't have very much power. I was just a teenager at the time, and for all I know, the letter never even made it to the judge's desk. Maybe the letter was never opened. It turns out I probably don't have that much pull with the judge. I don't have very much power. There's a reality that if we're in court for our sins, we don't have very much power. In fact, we are powerless. We have no power. But the one who is seated at our table, the one who's going to the judge on our behalf, he has all the power, you guys. He has all the power. We are guilty. We deserve the penalty. But Jesus and the Father, they're like working together for our freedom. This has been the plan from the beginning. This isn't plan B. This is plan A. This has always been the plan. Jesus is our representation, and he is interceding for us. Look, I wrote a letter to the judge, and I heard nothing. Nothing. But when Jesus goes to the judge, it's a completely different story because he has all the power. Do you see how wild that is? That means that it doesn't matter how badly we screw up. It doesn't matter how many times we walk through the door to sin. It doesn't matter how incredibly deeply disappointed and frustrated we can feel with ourselves. None of that matters. All that matters is who represents you. The love of God in Jesus Christ is the one who represents you. The love of God is more powerful than anything that you could ever do. You simply cannot out-sin the cross of Christ. We began this series at the beginning of chapter 8 in verse 1, and I want to remind us all of this verse right now. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is all about our new position in Christ. That's what Paul's been saying the whole time. We have a new position in Christ. Even though we're guilty, we get to go free. The condemnation that we deserve, it is completely gone, completely absorbed by what Christ did on the cross, and not a sliver of condemnation can touch you when you are in Christ. You guys, it's not just that we were like let off the hook for our sin because we had some amazing attorney. No, we aren't just let off the hook for our sin. We are moved into a new position entirely. Look, I brought something with me today. You've probably seen it up here, maybe wondering what it is. I heard some people asking if it's a cooler. It's not a cooler. It's actually a safe. And I brought this safe with me today from our home. You know, we keep this. We keep important things in it at our house. Documents, important items, things that can't yet go in the cloud, so they're like on flash drives, things like that. We keep things like that in our safe. And while we hope to never put it to the test, it's really designed so that no matter what happens, whatever we put inside of here is completely protected. Okay, so that means that, yeah, if there's flooding, if we have flooding come to our home, yeah, we're gonna lose a lot. I hope that never happens, but it's not getting in the safe. That means that if we have a fire in our home, which again, I hope that never happens, but if it does, yeah, it's not getting at what's in the safe. If somebody breaks into our home, they're not gonna find that much, but you know what? They're not getting in the safe. They're not getting in the safe. The whole purpose of the safe is to keep whatever it is you put inside of it totally and completely protected from all harm. The safe is like Christ. The safe is like Christ. I brought something else with me today. It's a glass Christmas ornament. Now, I like it because it reminds me that Christmas is around the corner. Now, I'm not decorating yet. I'm not crazy, but I do love Christmas, and so I thought an ornament would be fun. But really, it just seemed like the perfect object to represent us because this ornament, it's made of glass. It's delicate. It can break. It has to be handled with care. Right? We all know what happens if I drop this right now or if I throw it into the crowd. We all know it's going to break. It's going to shatter. It's delicate. It's to be handled with care, right? I was kind of nervous on my drive here this morning thinking, gosh, I got to be careful. If this breaks, like, I'm out of an illustration. I need this, right? It can break easily. You get the idea. You see, this ornament is like us. Out here, it doesn't take much to shatter this ornament. It can only take so much. It has to be handled with care. But if we put it in the safe, well, then it becomes totally protected. Nothing can get to it. You see, when we place our faith in Christ, we are immediately moved to an entirely new position. We are totally protected, and nothing can ultimately get to us. Watch this. I'm going to put this in here, bring you out in December. All right. Great. The safe is locked, the ornament is in there, and now let me ask you, who wants to come and try and get the ornament out? Who wants to come and try and open the safe? Nobody, right? I mean, seriously, I could try all kinds of things. I could bring a blowtorch to the safe. Do you think that's gonna get me in there? Nope, this baby's fireproof. I could take a sledgehammer to the safe. Do you know what's gonna happen? Besides me throwing my back out, maybe needing some workers' comp? Yeah, nothing. Okay, this is made of steel. I could spend all day trying to get into the safe, but I'm not getting in. When we place our faith in Jesus, we become like the ornament in the safe. We are completely secure. We are totally protected, and nothing can ultimately get to us. Our lives become hidden in Christ. Hidden in Christ, hidden in the safe. Our life is in there. You can't even see us anymore because we're becoming like Jesus. We're in the safe now. That's what happens when we place our faith in Jesus. That's why Paul, in another letter he wrote, he says, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." He's saying, you are in Christ now, and nothing at all could ever move you from that position. You're safe now. You're safe in the safe. You're safe because you are in Christ. Now, I'm pretty sure that we all know what it's like to, you know, sort of wish or long to be in a position different than the one that we may be in, right? I certainly know what that's like. I mean, you just think about all the different ways, professionally, financially, relationally. There's so many different ways that we can long to be somewhere other than where we are. But if we understood our position in Christ, we would never wish to be anywhere else. No, my life is in Christ. I'm in the safe. I'm in the best position I could possibly be in. There's no place I'd rather be because it doesn't matter who comes against me. It doesn't matter what happens to my life. It doesn't matter if anything terrible happens. Guess what? Every bit of condemnation that was coming for us, it doesn't even touch us. It hit Christ. Jesus, he went to the cross because he loves us more than we can imagine. You're safe in the safe. You're safe when you're in the safe. You're safe in Christ. Now, with that, we're going to keep going here in the passage. Romans 8:35 says this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Paul is saying, look at these seven terrible things. Yeah, they don't have power. They don't have power. You see, these seven things represent the kind of difficulties the people were up against in first century Rome. We heard all about this last week from Pastor Charles. Suffering back then, it was pervasive, it was everywhere, it was the norm. People actually expected to suffer. You know, so what is Paul getting at? Is he out of touch with what the people are living through? How could people have this sense of victory while living through such terrible circumstances? There's a reality that no matter what difficulty we may face, there is absolutely nothing that can move us from our position. We're safe in the safe. We're safe when we're in Christ. Paul is saying these seven horrendous things, not even they, can move us from our position. Even though we're in a new position, though, as we've been seeing all throughout this series, we still live in a world that is completely corrupted by the power of sin. We see this. And sometimes we can get mixed up and we can start to question if God is really for us when things start to happen in our lives. And Paul gets this. That's why he's so over the top trying to help us understand how much God loves us. It's really important today that we don't equate our new position in Christ to mean freedom from suffering. Being in Christ does not mean that you won't suffer. In fact, you absolutely will suffer. If you missed Pastor Charles' message last week, you've got to go back and listen. He talked about suffering. He talked about how while God does not cause our suffering, he actually uses it. He actually uses our suffering. It's part of what helps shape us and form us into the image of Jesus. God doesn't cause it, but he uses it. And that means that no matter what we may go through, we know that God is with us. And we have hope because we know that one day God is going to make all things right again. Sometimes we suffer because we sin. But there are other times where we suffer because we live in a world that's so impacted by the power of sin. Many years ago now, when I was a freshman in college, I had a season of life where I experienced some of the reality, the consequences of living in a world that is so impacted by the power of sin. My freshman year in college was a terrible year for me. Okay, I was going through a really challenging breakup. My parents had just gotten divorced. My family was divorcing. I was having a very hard time with that. I was all of a sudden in this new city where I didn't know anybody, and it just felt like life was crushing me. It felt like life was absolutely crushing me. I was feeling things that I've never felt before, thinking things I never thought before. I was experiencing depression for my first time. It sort of felt like every area of my life had been turned upside down. It felt like every area of my life had been disrupted and like nothing was actually secure anymore. Have you ever been through a season like that? Maybe some of you are going through a season like that right now. Well, when things get hard for me, I call my dad. And so my freshman year in college, I'd been calling my dad a lot. And on one night in particular, I can still remember, I called my dad and I said, Dad, I know that you're 3 hours away, but I need you to come get me right now. I'm not okay. I know it's a drive. I know it's late, but I need you now. I need you to come get me right now, Dad. And I'll never forget my dad's response. He said, come downstairs. And I said, well, what do you mean come downstairs? He said, come downstairs. I'm right outside. I said, well, I don't get it. No, you're 3 hours away. He said, come downstairs. We'll talk about it. I'm right downstairs. I am here. You see, my dad, he knew I was struggling and he was worried about me. And in the off chance that I might need him, he wanted to be right nearby. So he'd been like staying down the road, just available, just in case he got a call, like the one he got that night. So I ran down those 3 flights of stairs and I got in the car with my dad. And it's funny, I have zero memory of our conversation. I have no idea what we talked about. All I know is I was with my dad. You see, my dad is for me. He's for me. And just being with him was enough to help me regain perspective. Just being with my dad was enough to help me go, okay, yeah, I'm not okay, but I'm gonna be okay. I'm going to get through this. Look, I know that some of you are listening right now. You might even be tuning out because you're going, gosh, I wish I had a dad like that. Not even close. I would give anything to have a dad like that. You might be thinking, look, I would give anything to have a parent or a friend or a mentor or somebody show up for me and be there for me when I need them. I would give anything to have someone be truly for me. Some of you might even be thinking, I don't know if there's anyone who's truly for me. You know, I get it. I know that not everyone gets an earthly dad like mine, but you know what we do have? We have a heavenly Father who is closer than you can imagine, and he loves you more than you can comprehend, and he's here. He's saying, come downstairs. I'm right outside. You can run to him, and you can be reminded. You can regain your perspective. You know what? I'm not okay right now, but I'm gonna be okay because I'm in Christ. I'm safe in the safe. That means I'm going to get through this. You can run to God. He will remind you time and time again. He will help us in this way. You know, Paul, he wanted to be so clear that not even these 7 terrible things can move us from our position in Christ. And it got me thinking, what if we made a list today? What would that list look like in our lives in 2024? And here's what I wonder, if it would be like this: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall anxiety or depression or death or loss or tragedy, shall terrorism or politics or loneliness or failure, shall any of these things separate us from the love of Christ? And the answer is no. None of these things can separate us from the love of God. None of them. Depression, it may be part of my story, but it's not the end of my story. Shame might be part of my story, but it's not the end of my story either. Whatever it is you may be going through right now, it may be part of your story, but it's not the end of your story. It's not the end of your story. These things, they can knock us down for a little while, and they sure do, but they cannot, will not separate us from the love of God. God is for us. Christ is interceding for us. Therefore, no one can come against us. The verdict is in, and the judge's decision is final. There is no condemnation for anyone who is in Christ. And now we get to the end. The verses that we've been memorizing says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look, when we are in Christ, we are going to be victorious over any and everything that could ever happen to us. There is nothing more powerful than the love of God. Just as nothing can take the ornament out of the safe right now, nothing can take us from our position in Christ. And by the way, you can't take yourself out either. You are totally loved and wrapped in the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are safe. You are safe in the safe. You're safe because you are in Christ. It seems to me that Paul was so pumped up about the fact that we are victorious when we are in Christ. And I just want to be honest with you that I don't always feel that. I don't wake up with this daily sense of victory in my position. No, I wake up with a sense of I'm tired, I need coffee, I'm worried. I wake up with all kinds of senses, but victory is not the first one. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, I think we come back to a passage like this so we can be reminded of our position. I think that's what Paul was trying to say. remember your position. You are in Christ. I may not feel victorious, but I am victorious because my life is in there. My life is in the safe. I'm safe in the safe. Remember your position. You are in Christ. As we get ready to come to the end here, I want to ask you the same question I asked earlier. Do you know that God is for you? Do you know it? Do you believe it? God is for you. Look, maybe there are some of us here today, and you know right now your life is not in the safe, but you're at a point where you are ready to come and get to know the God who loves you, is for you. You want to link your life to the one who will keep you safe forever. And that happens when we place our faith in Jesus for our salvation. It happens when we realize that there's no amount of good that we could ever do. There's no perfect life we could possibly live to save ourselves. Because of that, we need a Savior. And that's why God sent his son Jesus to the world. He came to live and be a sacrifice so that for any one of us who would come to the point of placing our faith and trust in Jesus, we get to be in right relationship with God. We get to become a part of God's family. Jesus paid the price for our sins, and it's our choice to put our faith in him. And so now, if that's where you're at, I want to lead us. Look, there's no perfect words. It's not scripted. It's just about opening your heart to God, letting him know that you want relationship with him. So if you are at the point where you want to put your faith in Jesus, would you pray with me now? God, I know that I am a sinner, and today I place my faith in you, Jesus, alone for my salvation. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to be my representation. Thank you that you sent him to take the hit that was meant for me so that now I can be alive and in right relationship with you. God, I pray that you would help me embrace my new identity, and I pray that you would help me discover my role in your mission here on the earth. Amen. Look, I want you to know something right now, wherever you're at. If you prayed that prayer, if you have opened your heart to God, your life is in here now. Your life is in the safe. Your life is hidden away with Christ, and nothing will ever change that. If you are tired of living in a corrupt world, come live in Christ. If you are worn out from trying to be good enough, come live in Christ. If you look around at everything happening and you go, oh my goodness, what, is there another side to this? Is there something better? Is there hope? Yes, there is. His name is Jesus. Come live in Christ. For any of us who've placed our faith in Jesus, there are two things that are true about your life. Number one, you are free from all condemnation. And number two, you are free to join God in his mission on the earth. As we get ready to close, we're going to do something different. I'm not going to close in prayer right now. Instead, I want to invite everyone in this room, all sites, all venues, wherever you're at, on your couch, stand with me. And we are going to say the verses together that we memorized. If you didn't memorize it, that's okay. We've got the verses on the screen. But what a powerful way for us to go out today. If you've memorized it, just look away and say it with me. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Sing together of God's love. Well, I've got a friend. He's closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength. He is my portion, with me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. This is our prayer. Let all my life test. High. grace is sufficient. So come if you need it. Forgiveness and healing, His mercy is enough. Oh, this is our home. The cross it has spoken. Oh, death is no more. Christ is the Lord. This is our.
Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's the message that's at the foundation, the core of this gospel, this good news that we've been talking about for 5 weeks. He's for you. He loves you. And I know sometimes it's easy, at least for me, maybe I'm just preaching to myself, to feel like, well, yeah, God loves the world. He loves us. It's easy to sing that. He loves you. He loves me. If someone were to ask you, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how much does God love you? If it's anything less than a 10, you're wrong. God loves you infinitely. He's passionate about you. He's in pursuit of you. So be reminded of that. If you made that decision earlier, as Lynn was talking and praying, to trust Jesus with your life for the very first time, congratulations. That is amazing. I want to encourage you to do a couple things. I think we didn't put this up earlier, but if we can do it, there's a number that you can text if that's what feels most comfortable. You can text that in and just let us know that you made that decision, and we just want to come around you and support you and help you. And if you're here in the room and you feel comfortable going out to Next Steps or coming and talking to me, we would love to hear about that, to pray with you. We have a small gift for you of a Bible and some other resources to give you that could be of assistance as well as you're beginning or continuing on this journey. But God loves you. And just one more thing as we're headed out, and again, encouraging all of us to take a next step in our own walk with the Lord. It's not just enough to like experience the love of God, but we want to help others experience that as well. And one way that you can do that, because I'm thinking about this, I just came from the family room. I was sitting in there with my family, and I heard from B Kids this morning that, like at one of the grades in particular, there was just one volunteer for the entire grade. And many weeks, just about every single week, we're turning away kids because we don't have enough volunteers. And so maybe that's a next step for some of us. Like, we get to experience the gospel and the good news here as adults in this room. But man, we love our kids too, and we want the same thing for them. You have no idea the eternal significance that hangs in the balance of your decision to step in and to serve with B Kids. So there's a whole other variety of next steps that you can take to get plugged into community or groups or serving. But wanted to let this community know about that, because that's often happening at 9 a.m. For the benediction today, let's one more time, I know we did it earlier, that was really powerful, but let's read this or recite it one more time, these words from the Apostle Paul. Let's say that together. He says this: "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present or the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And all God's people said, amen. If we can pray with you or for you, there will be people up here after the service as well. But have a great week. We'll see you next week for the Kingdom of God series.